Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward. Today, you guys are going to love this one. We have the opportunity of having Max Finn with us. He's the founder of Startup Drugs and also the partner for Quantum Media, what do you call it? Is it
Quantum Media Works?
There we go. Welcome, Max. Super happy to have you here.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
Again, if you guys aren't familiar with Startup Drugs, you should be. Russell rants and raves. I think he's bought every one of your T-shirts.
It was a crazy feeling. I don't want to take too much time with this, but for Startup Drugs, that's been one of the coolest things about running it from a side project perspective is getting to see people that I follow and look up to, like, buy our stuff. So I'll wake up, 8 a.m. in the morning, and I'll look back at orders, and I saw Russell Brunson bought 8 shirts from us. And it was the coolest thing ever. I had to, verify that it was actually him and not another random Russell Brunson. And that happens, on a weekly basis. The Miami Dolphins bought, 20 shirts from us last week, which was also cool. And so that's been, the most rewarding part of the business so far.
That's awesome. Well, I want to spend most of our time talking about Facebook ads. But Startup Drugs is such a cool idea, and I love the whole story behind it. If you don't mind, just take 2 or 3 minutes to tell people a little bit about how it even got started and why you ran it and where it's at.
Yeah, sure. So as a lifelong entrepreneur living in the startup world since before college, I'd always had this kind of idea. Me and one of my business partners, Nick Haas, who lives in San Francisco now and is working in the VR space, of sharing what it's really like to be an entrepreneur. And for most people that are entrepreneurs, they realize that what they see on Silicon Valley and the common perception of Silicon Valley of being everybody goes there, gets rich instantly, and it's an overnight success, and glamorous and awesome, and all these hackers are getting, free massages and 6 bonuses. The reality is that it takes years and years of really hard work to be an overnight success. And that's one of our T-shirts also. And so he said, wouldn't it be funny if we made a brand that sold T-shirts that kind of poked fun at that and highlighted phrases and sayings that only entrepreneurs that are really true entrepreneurs would get. Things like, my burning VC cash like is my job. Things like that people get termed pro rata rates. We have a shirt that's like my startup's cap table and it's a hat, like a hat rack. And we launched on a product hunt 2 years ago. It took off like crazy. It was the second most upvoted startup of the day. We had 35,000 people come to the site in a week. We made so many mistakes that week. We probably could have made 50 grand, 60 grand that week, and we made a fraction of that, which even a fraction of that was great because we put nothing into it. But we made a lot of mistakes. We didn't do a lot of things right that now we do for a living with other people's stores. And since then, it's really just grown steadily. We're on track to do probably $60,000-$70,000 in sales this month, and it's a side project, so I don't spend too much time on it. For me, it's been more the testing and tinkering I get to do with it and experimenting. For me, it's basically become a playground that I get paid to run and test things that I can then bring to our clients at the agency, which has been really rewarding.
I think that's so cool. So real quick, if you guys haven't heard about it, I'd encourage you to go to startupdrugs.com, and it's drugs with a Z, not an S. So yep. startupdrugz.com. Grab yourself a couple of shirts. Everybody who's a funnel hacker is also an entrepreneur. One of my favorites is your serial entrepreneur. I think that's a pretty killer opportunity.
That one, yeah, that's a good one.
But again, let's dive right in, because the other part that you spend a ton of time on is working with Kevin Harrington with Quantum Media and that agency, and really driving a massive amount. I mean, you guys do serious, serious Facebook ads. And I get people asking me all the time, Dave, I still need to figure this Facebook thing out. So let's just kind of dive right in, tell a little bit about the story as far as what you're doing with Quantum Media, and then let's go right into the Facebook ad training.
Sure. So, we linked up, when I say we, my two partners, Ian Smith and Jeremy Adams, who, funny enough, I met them through a Facebook ad. And it sounds kind of weird and creepy. It was like a Craigslist like that. It was a going back to Startup Drugs, and I'll get off that, but it relates to everything. We were running the ads we run for Startup Drugs. It's so cool because it's generated so much business for me in terms of consulting and leads, because people see our ads and they see the type of engagement they get, and they see how they're getting hammered with it. They're getting retargeted, they're getting upsold, And then they're like, well, these guys know what they're doing. And I get they reach out to me for that. And that's led to a bunch of business. But about a year ago, I was running an ad. Two entrepreneurs in Orlando had commented on it. And they tagged each other and said, hey, this is pretty interesting. I went downtown because I live in Orlando. We had lunch together. They're running successful businesses. You know, my one partner, Jeremy, runs a 7-8-figure food truck business, one of the biggest in the country. And Prestige Food Trucks, I'll give them a little plug. And you know, we were both kind of late 20s entrepreneurs living in Orlando, not a huge entrepreneur community like San Francisco or New York. But we started kind of saying, how can we work together? Well, I do Facebook ads and I do sales and Ian does production and management. And we formed a mini agency. And at that time, they had already been working with Kevin and helping him grow his digital presence and digital brand. And that evolved over time, and we formed our little company. We started really growing Kevin's online presence, his brand, helped him start building some initial funnels, Facebook ads, everything that we do for our agency. And it made sense. You know, Kevin gets pitched 100 businesses a day, and a lot of them are terrible. But there's a handful that are gold, you know, that are just incredible ideas. They're already making a lot of money. And so we can take all the stuff we know from Facebook retargeting, email automation, funnel buildouts, e-commerce optimization, and bring that to them and really supercharge their growth. And so it made sense for us to kind of join forces, formed an agency. Quantum Media is kind of an homage to one of Kevin's first businesses that went public back in the 80s, Quantum Marketing. And so it just was a natural fit, and it just naturally evolved over time to the point that now it's surreal, because like a year ago I was in Miami for dinner, and Kevin O'Leary came in and Rob Hirschbach. And we waited for 2 hours for the steakhouse in Miami. And we had reservations, and we still waited 2 hours. And they strolled in, and they set up a table in front for them, and everybody moved. And it's like, you know, how, like, just to get to talk to those guys. If I got 5 minutes with them, that'd be so cool. I mean, they're so next level. And a year later, to be partners with the guy who was the first one on Shark Tank, who started it with Mark Burnett, has just been, it's been a crazy year in terms of the level of people that we're working with. And so now with, you know, Quantum, we're bringing all the stuff that I've used for my successful selfish businesses to help other people out. And that's, you know, first touch point Facebook ads, it's retargeting, it's dynamic product ads, it's, you know, email automation sequences for man and cart recovery, upselling, cross selling down the road, engagements. I mean, everything that, you know, you guys talk about at ClickFunnels, we're doing that in a primary focus on the Facebook side of it and on the kind of CRO side for specifically Shopify, but also WooCommerce and Magento and all the other, you know, players out there.
I love it, because you guys literally are becoming one of the biggest agencies out there for this kind of stuff. I mean, you guys are literally crushing it. So congratulations on your success. I'm super, super excited for you. But let's tell me a little bit about, so if I understand, with our audience here on Funnel Hacker Radio, we have people who are just kind of getting started. Right now, though, we've got a lot of people who are kind of in the middle area between, you know, high fives, breaking through the sixes, and really trying to scale. So if you don't mind, if we can kind of focus in on that niche, as far as those people who've already made the first $5,000, $10,000, and now they're trying to get to 50 or 100 or 2 or 3 or 4, help me understand what are some of the main things from Facebook they need to be focusing on.
Sure. So I mean, this is the, you know, I have a knowledge vault that I'm actually totally redoing. I'm going to launch it probably the next month. A whole new course on Facebook ads. And the most common question that I get, and something that I've dealt with even personally, someone that does it for a living, is scaling Facebook ads, scaling successful Facebook ads is probably the hardest thing in paid social and paid advertising, in my opinion. And we've dealt with a lot of platforms, and I do this for a living and spend 4 or 5 hours a day on Facebook. And it's still something up until recently that I struggled to do consistently. You know, the typical story, and this happens to everybody, is A/B tested 12 new audiences, each one has 6 new ads. So I have about 80, 100 different ads I'm testing. And I found 4 that are just crushing it. They're 10x, 12x ROI. But I'm only spending 10, 20 bucks a day. And so that's exciting. You know, I'm making 100 bucks on 10 bucks, but I want to spend 1,000 bucks. I want to make $10,000. Who wants to do, right? And so what everybody does is, well, if I'm spending 10 bucks a day and making 100, I'm just going to change the budget to 1,000 today. And I'm going to make and then they do that, and the ad goes black and stops making money, and they lose $1,000. And that happens daily. With I hear stories about that every single day.
I've done that.
And I've encountered, I mean, that's I've dealt with that personally too. It's the most frustrating thing because you think you have a home run, you did so much work, and then you just lose it, and it's so demoralizing. And so there are really two ways that you can scale a successful campaign, from test budget to kind of scaling that budget. One is a little riskier, but it's faster. The other is much more of a sure thing, but it's a much longer, lengthier, more hands-on process. And so the first one is, okay, I have a test campaign. I've run it for 2 weeks. The ROI is great. It's a 4 or 5, 10x ROI. And so now I'm going to go and I'm going to look at reports, and I'm going to see, okay, out of this ad, which demos perform best? So out of that, did men or women outperform? And then out of those, which
demos, just for the people who might be listening, that's demographics we're talking about.
Yeah. So demographics, gender, age, placement. So placement on Facebook, there's 5 different placement options. You have your audience network. You have your mobile newsfeed, desktop newsfeed, desktop right column, and Instagram. And so you can look through all these breakdowns on Facebook reports and see, out of all these segments, which had the best performance and which had the worst performance. And so if I find that out of this ad, men between the age of 25 and 44 on Instagram had the highest ROI, I can pull that data out, create a brand new ad set just with that targeting, and start the budget much higher, using the 1 or 2 ads out of the 4 or 6 that I was testing that performed best as well. And so now I'm starting with a much more defined audience. It's a new campaign. It's not just duplicating it, and I can start at a higher budget. So that's worked for me pretty regularly. It's not a sure thing. I mean, nothing's a sure thing, but it's less of a sure thing than the next model that I'm going to tell you. I'm sorry. This is late. I don't understand why they can't see somebody's in here and talk. It's like see through glass too. So then the next model is daily increments, or 36 to 48 hour incremental increases of 15 to 20% on the daily budget. And so this model, I give credit to a guy named Jason Horning, who's another brilliant Facebook advertiser. And we were chatting about this a while back because I saw one of his videos. We started talking about strategies. And this is something he had been doing with his big clients, and he's spending 6-7 figures a month for a lot of big personalities and influencers. And so this model of every 24, 36, 48 hours increasing the budget a small percentage, but doing it consistently, has been the most effective scaling technique that I've used for my own businesses, for client businesses. And the reason is Facebook's algorithm of who they decide to serve an ad to, how often they decide to serve an ad to, and when during the day they decide to serve an ad, is dependent on hundreds of variables and hundreds of pieces of data. And so the key to me, which is a perfect analogy, I don't even want to change it, is the algorithm is like a tree. It's like a leaf. So every time you change something, whether you change the age targeting, the gender targeting, the daily budget, you're pulling a leaf off of that. And so you might be able to get away with doing it once. If you start doing it 2, 3, 4 times, start making too many alterations, it really screws up Facebook's algorithm, how they're deciding to serve the ad, who they're serving it to, because they're making determinations. I'm going to say they, I'm talking about computer program, but it's deciding based on if your daily budget's $10, okay, I normally have $10 throughout the day, the next 24 hours to show this ad to people. If you jack it up to $1,000, it changes everything. I mean, and so it takes time to then optimize the ad, find the right person again. And that's kind of another tip, which is that a lot of people, they'll start a new ad and it won't work, and they'll turn it off after a day or 2 days without getting an impression. And so it takes that algorithm time to find the right person and start to get into the swing of things and start to really start rolling. And so usually 8,000 impressions is the rule of thumb that I go by for each individual ad before I make a decision if it's a bad ad or a good ad. Usually I try to shoot for more than that.
You broke up a little bit there. I want to make sure, if you don't mind restating that, because it said 8,000, and I want to make sure we get that on audio.
Yeah, so 8,000 impressions per ad. So at the smallest level, there's campaign, ad set, ad. At the individual ad level, you know, having 8,000 total impressions on that ad before deciding, hey, this ad's bad or good. And that's like a minimum. Usually try to do a lot more than that. But a lot of people, they'll have an ad at 2,000 impressions or 1,000 and they'll turn it off because it wasn't good. Or even more dangerous, they'll say it's a winner and they'll try to steal it. And I've seen that happen too. Where all of a sudden, and it's happened every now and then to me, and you get really excited. You put up a new ad and you make like 8 sales in the first dollar. And it's crazy. It's happened a few times recently, and your cost per purchase is like 8 cents or 10 cents. And you just think you found gold, and you go and you scale that ad. And it turns out, you know, there's some luck involved. It just, you know, it doesn't identify the right person again. There's a lot of variables as to why that can happen. And so that's why it's important to have data before you make certain decisions in terms of whether to turn an ad off, whether to scale a good ad, whether to make modifications to a campaign.
I think that is, I mean, that kind of stuff is so important for people when it comes to scaling, because especially when you first get started, once you get a successful ad, the first thing you think is, I'll just throw more gas on this thing and put more money into it, and it tanks. And then everyone goes, Facebook doesn't work. Like, it's not Facebook doesn't work, it's that you don't know how to work Facebook. So love that idea.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, one piece of it. The other piece of it, and this is maybe more of a controversial statement, is a lot of people are teaching to get very, very small audiences. And so you want to start out with a, you know, 50,000, 100,000 person audience. And that's your starting point. We kind of do things the opposite. And we'll start with much broader single interest or two interest or two behavioral demographic type audiences that could be in the millions. And we'll test a lot of those. And the reason we do that is twofold. One, if you start out with a very detailed audience that could have three tiers of interest. And what I mean by that is when you're creating audiences in Facebook, there's two types like logic statements you can follow. You can follow and or statements. And so the or statements are, I'm going to target people that like Fast Company or ClickFunnels or Gary Vaynerchuk or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And the audience gets bigger and bigger. The end statements are, I want to target people who make $500,000 a year and who like digital marketer and who like this. And those get smaller. And so when you start to build those audiences really early on, it's dangerous because if a campaign does really well, you can't attribute the success of that campaign back to any one targeting option. And so if you have 5-6 interests in there, was it the digital marketer interest or the Fast Company interest or the ClickFunnels interest? Was it that audience that's driving the ROI? On the other side, if the campaign tanks, you also don't know which of those interests to attribute the lack of success to. And so when you start with single interests or maybe two interests, it makes that attribution much easier. And so if I start out with 12 audiences at a kind of really high level, and maybe I'm targeting entrepreneurship and online buyers and some big, you know, multi-million audiences, and two of the 10 do well, I can now combine those two. So I can now take those, create a new audience, combining two that I know worked because they're in single interests, and create a scalable campaign from there. The other thing is that when you start very defined, it's hard to scale, right?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest problems I see for most people, is it's too small of an audience.
Yeah. So when you start too small, it makes scaling difficult. When you're dealing with the types of budgets that we deal with, you can when you're spending thousands of dollars a day or tens of thousands of dollars a day. And it just makes it, you have to put a lot more work in terms of constantly coming up with new audiences, which you have to do at some, everybody has to do that at some point, but it just makes that the frequency of doing that a lot higher. And so if you find something that works and it's a 5 million person audience, that's a much better place to be than finding something that works at a 30,000 person audience. And then trying to replicate that and replicate that and continue to replicate that. And so we find a lot of, you know, ironically, we also find a lot of success with those big audiences. And the reason is that, and this is another misconception people have with Facebook ads, is that the more targeted your ad is, the less they're going to pay. And so that's true at some level, because click-through rate's going to be higher, cost per click's going to get a little lower because of that. but your CPM rates are higher the more defined your audience gets. And so when you're targeting a 12 million person audience, what you pay in CPM is cost per thousand impressions. What you pay at that level is lower than what you pay when you start to really build a targetable audience. And that makes sense, right?
It's, of course.
And that's what is, if I want to find more targeted, relevant people, I'm going to pay for that because there's a higher conversion rate. You have a larger, you know, room margin for error, essentially, with audience. You get more impressions to sell that product. And if you're selling a broad B2C product, like, for example, one of our clients, Carbon Clean, that sells a, you know, really cool device for cleaning your smartphone screens and your eyeglasses, we're seeing, you know, 3, 4, 5x ROI on broad interest categories. So online buyers, and this is the tip, like, so the online buyer audience on Facebook, it's like a 12.5 million person audience using credit card purchase history to say these people frequently buy online. That audience has consistently had a 2+ x ROI. I would say 30 to 40% of our clients out of the gate that sell B2C products online.
I want you to just restate that just for the audio and everything else, because I think that's real important as people are looking at scaling things, that they understand.
So, you know, the online buyer audience and have a audience based on credit card purchase history that's about 12.5 million people, that audience has consistently outperformed for a majority of our clients. Kind of a go-to test audience that we use across the board. And it just worked really well. I think the behavioral and demographic audiences on Facebook for targeting. And so a lot of people focus on interest targeting, which is fine. But what I remind people is, you know, most people on Facebook have been on Facebook for a while. And so I've been on Facebook for probably 10 years. My high school was one of the first high schools to get it. And I'm sure there are dozens of pages and things that I've liked over those years that have zero to little relevance anymore to me. And so if you're targeting me based on some of those, the chances of me repeating and buying are slim. Whereas like behavioral and demographic targeting, that's a much more reliable barometer for interest in a potential product, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes complete sense. I love that idea. I think too often people screw that up by just what they like versus the behavior side of it.
Exactly. I mean, because I'm a huge nerd and obsessed with this stuff, I a few months ago, I had actually compiled an Excel doc or a Google doc on all, at the time, I think it was like 1,420 behavior targeting options, demographic targeting options available through Power Editors on Facebook. And it's actually something we're going to share. We're putting together like a little worksheet on it. And it's amazing. We have anybody we bring on that does Facebook ads for us that I train, spend like a full day just like searching in the interest bar on Facebook, because the types of targeting that's available would surprise most people. So everything from, I can target people based on, are you likely to move? Did you just move? Are you a homeowner versus a home renter? Did you just get married? Did you just get engaged? Did you just get a mortgage? What's your net worth? What's your income? Liquidable assets? You know, what's your job title? And so there are just an insane amount of options. I know, you know, when your home was built. Do you live in a home that was built in the 1900s, 1920s? That's great if I sell a home repair company. Or if I, you know, Home Depot, I want to target people that are, you know, in homes that are pretty old. And so there are just a huge amount of behavioral and demographic targeting options available to companies out there that put the time in to look at those options. And it's benefiting people that know how to look for them. And so, for example, for Carbon Clean, we're able to target people who buy consumer electronics. So people that are more likely to purchase consumer electronics, we're targeting with a screen clean product, which cleans smartphone screens. It's a perfect match. And that has like a 6x ROI on it. And so there are, you know, pretty much for every vertical you can think of, there are relatable demographic and behavioral options that Facebook has the data on that you're free to use for your ads. And so it's important to think beyond just what pages do people like and what interests do people like.
So Max, I know the one question I'm going to get from people real quick is, how do I get a hold of Max and how do I get more of his knowledge and content and things of that sort? I know you don't have a product or anything else right now, but if a person wants to really learn the type of stuff that you know, what kind of resources do you have? How do people get more information on that kind of stuff?
Sure. So this is the challenge that I encountered, and it's really a frustrating challenge for me. Personally, I love working with small business owners and entrepreneurs way more than I like working with big companies. And the reason is because the stuff that I teach and the stuff that I do can move the needle. Like, as an example, and then I'll really answer a call to action. Carbon Clean came to us 2 months ago, and they were doing $3,000, $4,000 a month on Shopify. They're also in retail, and that was our main focus, and Amazon Shopify. We started running our test campaigns in late August. Last month, they did $30,000 in sales, and this month, they're on pace to probably do $65,000 or $75,000 in sales. And so that's the test to me. We can do that for companies like 3M and big Shin, and it doesn't move the pie. There's less of a satisfaction from my standpoint for those big companies pay the bills. And so that's why I'm working on a new course to try to take all the knowledge I have and productize it. So it's, there's worksheets and there's video courses and templates. And so we're working on a quantum digital product that will be ready very soon, probably in the next month or so. And that's something that will, we'll be promoting heavily. In the meantime, I can be reached at max@quantummedia.co, and I try to help as many people as I can. So I like to give as much free information out as possible, and so I try to be active on the Shopify forums and reply to a lot of people that email me. And so if you have questions regarding your campaigns or need advice, feel free to shoot me an email. If you're a company and you have sales and you're really going to grow your business, Quantum would love to talk to you. And I think we would be a great fit. We don't just work with the 3Ms of the world. We also work with really promising product companies. And that's part of the value Kevin brings to the team, is he has probably more experience vetting products and selling products than pretty much anybody I know of in the world right now. He sold like $4 billion for the product. So it's pretty insane.
Max, that is so, so cool. I think the part I like the most about it is the fact that you've had such huge experience with Fortune 500 companies that you've done some major campaigns for. But at the same time, because you've had that experience, you can take that down to use it for a person on a much smaller scale. And moving that needle, I think, I know for us at ClickFunnels, that's the part I actually enjoy the most as well. There's nothing more exciting for me than sitting there and seeing this business all of a sudden was struggling, and just two or three tweaks and changes, and it changes their whole business. It changes their whole life. So again, huge, huge congratulations to you guys on what you're doing there. And again, reach out to Max for sure. Once you get the product, let me know. I'm more than happy to link it to the podcast here also. I just want to make sure, as people are listening to this, you need to spend the time to understand how Facebook works, because you have to be able to scale your company. If you can't scale, it doesn't matter. You're a one-trick pony, and you're literally going to die on the vine, and you have to find a way of scaling. Max gave you two solid, solid tips on exactly how to do that, and I really hope that, again, I know the audio broke up a little bit there, but I'll make sure we kind of clean up the audio as much as possible for you. Again, Max, huge, huge thank you for your time. I know you got a lot going on. You're real busy, and I appreciate you taking time. Any parting words you have for our audience?
Of course. I plan content for an hour, so I have plenty to talk about, but I'll throw in something that is super important, that a funnel that we actually just built out that'll be in this product that we're launching, that shows the entire funnel from our Facebook ad side of things, retargeting side of things, from lead gen all the way to repeat customer, where people neglect to spend time and money is post-purchase retargeting. And so this is probably one of the bigger tips that I'll give you that'll provide incredible value, is everybody's focus is acquiring customers. How do I get new customers in the door? And that's great. I mean, you need new customers. You need traffic to your site, or else retargeting doesn't work. The problem is that it's 5 or 6 times easier to sell than it is to sell cold traffic. And so if you're putting 100% of your time and money into advertising to new customers, you're neglecting a huge profit center. I mean, that's a gold mine that's sitting there. You have customers, you've already sold them once. If you have more products, if you have products that are, you know, usable in the sense that maybe you're selling toothpaste or deodorant or drinks or something where people can keep buying them, you need to be able to retarget these people, and you need to have a post-purchase sequence, not just an email, but with Facebook. And so the typical funnel that we do for most of our businesses involves a personalized thank you video. This one is crazy effective. So for the first 24 to 48 hours after your purchase from Startup Drugs, we have a video app we run that's a 15-second video of me thanking them for their purchase. It had no call to action. It was just a thank you. And we actually had a 3x ROI on it since we launched it. And that's been crazy, just to get the repeat purchases, because people were so like stopped by it. Anytime you can do something different than whatever people are doing, you're going to stand out and you're going to make an impact. And so doing something that nobody else was doing helped us. Nobody else is doing that, at least on Facebook. It drove people back to the site because they thought it was so cool. We also do a retargeting campaign to solicit feedback and reviews. You know, for that campaign, make sure you don't do it until your actual product's delivered. That's a huge frustration of mine. Too. I'll get an email 2 days after buying, and I don't have the product yet. And they say, well, can you review us on Amazon, or can you review us here? And I said, well, I can't review anything because I still have the product. So that's another thing. Know your lead time before you do that. But using retargeting post-purchase to get that feedback, get that review, if you have a referral or an affiliate program, to solicit invitations for that. And then cross-selling and upsell. Those are both features built into Facebook. That's a whole, I could spend hours talking about dynamic product ads, and that's a very valuable thing, but it's an advanced topic. But Facebook has some powerful tools for cross-selling and upselling, specifically if you have a wide selection of products with different margins. You want to be able to push those higher margin products to existing customers who might not fall from that yet. And so, you know, the parting words is, don't neglect first-time customers, don't neglect repeat customers. Use Facebook to upsell them, cross-sell them, bring them back into your ecosystem. Don't just focus all of your budget and your time on acquiring customers, because that's the difference between breaking even or having a small ROI or losing money and being very, very profitable with Facebook ads, is knowing where your big 5X, 10X campaigns are. And so the post-purchase sequence is one of those 5, 10, 15X campaigns.
Dude, I should have started with that. Man, that was awesome. That is killer idea. Oh, man, I love that idea. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that a ton. Let me actually look at our own campaigns and see what we're doing. So tell me real quick on the 15-second thank you. I think it's so cool when you can thank someone for buying your product, because the reciprocity that you get from that kind of stuff is just crazy, crazy cool. So on your 15-second video, as far as the thank you ad, you said there was no call to action?
No, because I had, when I did this, I'd never seen anybody do it. So I had no anticipation of direct response. My goal was build loyalty and get social engagement. And that turned into sales. And so that's what's cool is, I think, again, another tip is, you know, too many people with Facebook ads ask me, well, what other advertisers should I look at? What should I look at when I'm writing my ad? And you shouldn't look at what other advertisers are doing. Your goal shouldn't be to write like an advertiser. Like, that's a terrible idea. Your goal should be to write like your friends do, like BuzzFeed does when you share those videos. because honestly, the only factor, the only variable on your ad that tells anybody that this is a ad and not an organic post is a 11-pixel light gray font sponsor tag below the headline. That's almost invisible. That's it. That's the one identifier that separates your posts from other people's posts. The more blatant separator is that if you like you're promoting something or too salesy, people can smell that a mile away. Buy my thing. go to this site, do this. And so if you approach advertising, not just on Facebook, but across the board, as, you know, if I found a cool product online today that I want to tell my friends about, how would I write about it? How would I describe it and how would I share it? And I guarantee you the way you would do that is different than the way you're writing your ad copy. And so if you can write like you would in a social fashion, you're going to outperform the way you would if you were writing as an advertiser and writing typical sales copy. And so I think that's why it was so successful, is my goal was not to sell anything. My goal was purely to do something fun and entertaining. And people respond to that. When people see things that they feel like I'm not being sold, I'm not being pressured, they genuinely care about me, I want to support this brand. And that goes a long way. If you can build that type of relationship with your customers, especially when you're fresh in their mind because they just bought something from you, and maybe in the back of their mind they said, yeah, there was a few shirts that I would have bought, I just wanted to buy one for now, and maybe they go back and buy those because you really just, you know, went above and beyond in engaging with them.
Yeah, that's so cool. Love that idea. Thank you very, very much for sharing that. That was awesome, awesome idea. Well, but I appreciate your time, man. You're always so much fun to work with and talk to. I will be actually contacting you because I'm really curious about some of the Facebook stuff for us. So I'll be in touch with you personally here real short.
I would love to chat about it. Like I said, there's hours and hours of stuff to talk about. So maybe one day, you know, we can, I don't want to overwhelm your audience with just Facebook stuff. Maybe a few months from now, we can do another one and talk about some different topics.
Love to. Max, thank you again for your time, bud. We'll talk soon.
Alrighty, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dreamcar and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.